So I hope by now you've all found time to settle in and find a place to put your stuff. Because as a famous comedian, George Carlin, once said, isn't that the whole meaning of life? Just finding a place to put your stuff. I mean, that's what we spend most of our time doing, is you guys are studying so you can get a good job, so you can get lots of money, so you can buy stuff, right? And then, of course, once you've got a whole lot of stuff, you need a place to put your stuff, right? So then you got to go and get more money to buy a house, which is basically a box with a cover on it, so you can put your stuff in it and lock it up tight so that nobody takes your stuff. They always take the good stuff, not the lousy stuff that you're saving for all those years. And then you can go out and all your stuff is safe in this nice box. You can go out and get more stuff. And then, of course, you come to a place like this, where camp, right? Where you're in a different place. And one of the first things you have to do is, you know, find what your place is going to be and clear a little space, make sure you put some of your stuff there. Now you're okay, because you've got a small subset of your stuff in this place. So, you know, it's not home. You don't have all your stuff, but you got enough stuff. This is essentially the lie that the world is telling you. Because anytime you watch a TV or a YouTube video and the advertisements come on, what are they telling you? They're telling you, you need this stuff. If you want to be cool, you need this stuff and not the stupid stuff that you have. You need, this is much better stuff. Or, you know, you don't have enough stuff. You need more. And if we look at this and think about this for, you don't have to actually have to think about it for too long to realize this is silly. The meaning of life is not about stuff. And here I want to back up. I'm going to go back way up, right to the very beginning. Because if we want to know what to do about stuff, we need to know where stuff came from, right? And as Orthodox Christians, we know where stuff came from. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and everything that was in them. But the earth was formless and without shape. And God spoke, and he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day and the darkness night, and there was evening and morning, and it was the first day. And then God spoke again, and he said, "Let the waters above the heavens be divided from the waters below the heavens by this great expanse." And he called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and morning the second day. And then God said, "Let earth appear, dry land, and then let the dry land separate the waters from the waters." And he called the dry land earth, and the waters he called seas. And then he said, "Let fish appear in the seas, and let birds appear in the earth, that the fish might multiply, and the birds might fill the air and feed upon the earth." And it was so. And it was good. And it was evening and morning. The third day. Actually, I got it mixed up. After he made the earth, he said, "Let the plants appear. Let the earth bring forth plants, fruit-bearing trees according to every kind." That's what he decreed on the third day. The fourth day was the fish and the birds. And then, he said, let stars appear, and the sun, and the moon. Wait, that was the fourth day. I knew I'd get the order mixed up. The stars and the moon, so that there might be times, that the moon and the stars might be used to set times and seasons, and that they might be for a light during the day and during the night. And then it was the fish and the birds. And then he finally said, let animals appear upon the face of the earth. And let them reproduce according to their kinds. And finally he said, let us make man in our image. Male and female, he created them. And he created them and gave them the rule or the governance or the care of all of the living creatures. And he gave all the plants to man and to the animals to eat. And he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the whole earth. And he said, it was very good. And then on the seventh day, he rested from all his labors. And for the man and the woman, he made a garden. And he made sure that there were fruit trees galore in the garden. There was anything that they wanted to eat, you could have. And he set them in the midst of the garden to take care of the garden. And there was the man and the woman, the first two human beings who were on this earth. And they were surrounded by an abundance of stuff that God made. Now let's pause for a minute here. God's just made the entire world, populated with birds and fish and animals and fruit trees and strawberry plants. I love strawberry plants. And raspberry plants. I love raspberry plants too. Well, especially I love the berries that come from the raspberry plants. And they're all there in abundance. And the two people who they are given to eat and to look after are the only two people in the whole world. Now let's imagine our space, our world, put back there. Adam, you really need some deodorant. Eve, you don't have enough food to eat. You need to eat this food. But wait, actually you need to watch your weight. You might not have that perfect, beautiful figure, so you don't need this food. You need this food, and that will make sure that you have the perfect, beautiful figure that Adam will just love. Like, really? I don't think so. Or think about Adam and Eve. You know, Adam is really worried about his stuff. It's like, I don't know, if Eve takes these raspberry bushes, she might not take good care of them. And so these are my raspberry bushes. You can go look after those raspberry bushes over there, Eve, but these are my raspberry bushes. Does it make any sense? No. Adam and Eve were one. They looked after one another. They looked after everything together. It totally wasn't about the stuff. And that becomes even more plain when we go on in the story. Because there was one thing that God said, okay, you can have anything in the whole garden, except right now, I don't want you to eat the tree of the fruit of the with the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. So of course, they can have all the stuff in the world except for this one bit. And what do? Exactly. The serpent comes up to Eve. It's a little bit subtle, possibly possessed by the devil. Says to Eve, has God really said you can't eat anything in the garden? You know, twisting God's words. And Eve's like, no, God didn't say that. He said just we can eat anything except for that. That. And the serpent says, yeah, you know why God said that? Because he doesn't want you to become like him, knowing good from evil. So you should really try some. And Eve's like, maybe I should try some. Subliminal advertising worked even back then. And she looked at the fruit and saw, it looks pretty good. And she smelled the fruit, smells delicious. Obviously, God's keeping something from me here. I better try this. And so she picks it, and she eats it. Oh, I think I'm going to share this with Adam. Takes it to Adam. Adam's like, okay. He eats it. And then, all of a sudden, they knew. They knew something was wrong. And God came, as he always did. He came to be with them because he loved them. He loved spending time with them. And he came, and they were afraid. And they hid themselves. And God came and he said, Adam, where are you? It's not that God didn't know exactly where Adam was hiding, but he wanted to give Adam a chance. And eventually Adam finally comes back, comes out and says, hi. I was aware that I was suddenly aware that I was naked, and so I hid from you. And God says, did you eat from the tree? Well, yeah, but the woman that you gave me, she gave me some and I ate it. It's obviously all her fault. And Eve's like, the serpent, he was telling me all about it, and so I just had to try some. And that relationship of openness, that relationship of love, that relationship of trust and obedience that was there from the very beginning had been broken. And the one from whom Adam and Eve had gotten their life, their breath, their very existence, was now cut off from them by their sin, by their disobedience, by the fact that they were hiding from God. They were hiding from the very source of their life. And God, in sorrow, said to Adam, from now on, it's going to be tough to make food grow in the earth. There'll be thorns and thistles. It's going to be hard work. To Eve, he said, from now on, childbirth and labor is going to be painful and difficult. Because you turned your back on me, the source of life. And all of a sudden, instead of being surrounded by a whole bunch of stuff that was everything that they needed or their hearts could have desired, Adam and Eve found themselves turned out of the garden. And they had to work just to get the stuff that they needed to live. And this was the beginning of our obsession with stuff. Because instead of realizing that their life comes from God, that everything that they have for life and health and happiness and relationship and love comes from God, Adam and Eve and their descendants working day and night to get enough stuff to get by, we're all scared. What if we don't have enough stuff? What if the crop fails and the food is not enough? What if there's enough for me, but not enough for me and you? What do I do then? But if there's not enough to share, what do we do? Who has to start? And instead of being focused on one another, instead of looking after one another and the world around them, instead of relating to one another and to God, they were all about themselves. All about the stuff that I could get. But ultimately, it's not about the stuff. Ultimately, what was the source of the problem? Us choosing us. Us choosing not God, not even choosing us, choosing me. And instead of working to take care of everything out of love for God, instead of having that relationship with God that keeps them and us alive, we fell away. We fell into this scrabbling, clawing competition for stuff. For the stuff that we need. For the stuff that keeps us alive. For the stuff that makes us happy. Except it doesn't. Because what we're missing is not stuff. What we're missing is love. What we're missing is God. He's the one who made all the stuff. He's the one who has all the stuff. He has everything that we need. And He loves us. He wants us to be fulfilled. He wants us to live full lives. He is calling us back to Himself. And all we have to do is let go of all this stuff that we're holding on to. All this stuff that we think makes us happy. Our Xbox One, or our PS4, really nice clothes, or our iPads, or what you name it, right? The things that you are being told you need this, the things that you love, they're good. Your love for them is good. These things are good. But they're not ultimately what matters. Those of you who have been here before will know that for a number of years now, I make a stick. Usually grab a stick from the forest, get out my jackknife. I'm allowed to have it because I'm the camp priest. And carve myself out a stick. But you know what? Every year it's a different stick. Because there's lots of sticks. That's one of the nice things about the country. In the city, you go out and you go and grab a stick from, you know, over there, and somebody will be like, "That's my stick! That stick's on my piece of stuff! How dare you take that stick?" Your country is like, oh, no problem. There's another stick, and there's another stick, and there's another stick. So every year I've made myself a new staff. And this year, slightly different. We actually didn't have camp last year. And I've been, I'm so blessed that we're having camp this year. Isn't it great? And I've been taking my sticks actually at this camp from a particular maple tree. It's the one just over there by the cabin that Maruska and I usually stay in. This year the Jordals are staying in it. And I went back, and I was a little worried, because, you know, it's been 2 years, right? So I wasn't sure if I'd be able to get my stick from the same tree. So I went back to this tree. The tree is this big. A little too big for a walking stick. Fortunately, I anticipated it. And I brought this nice, beautiful walking stick that is, you know, it's a piece of stuff. It's a stick. But it's actually somewhat meaningful to me. But there's a reason it's meaningful to me. Not simply because it's nice and got nice carving and it's kind of shiny and it's just the right height for me, you know, and it's not too heavy and it's, you know, all of those are nice things. But, you know, I could find another stick that might not have as nice carving, but it would do the same thing. I could still lean on it and talk to you guys. And, but this stick was given to me by somebody that I care about. And really, in the end, that's what matters. The stick itself doesn't even matter. It's just stuff. But what matters is there's somebody that I care about. That somebody that I care about gave me this stick. So I was like, okay, well, I guess this year it's time to bring Father Cyprian's walking stick. Actually, he's now Father Nathaniel. And bring it to camp with me. And ultimately, if we have stuff, we need to realize three things. One, that stuff is a gift. Two, we need to hold on to that gift with gratitude as a gift, as something given to us in relationship, whether that be a relationship with another human being who gave us the gift, or our ultimate relationship with God, who is the giver of all good gifts. And three, we hold on to it lightly. Because what matters more, the gift or the person who gave it? Exactly. God, the giver of all good things, is the one who matters most. It is returning to Him that will enable us to return to Eden, to return to the garden, to return to that state of love and life where we ultimately have everything that we need. Because what we have is the creator of all the stuff, who owns all the stuff, and who cares about us, and who loves us, and who wants us to share and to love one another as He loves us. And as we do that, we are restoring the garden. We are restoring and returning to the very source of life itself. And that gives Him the glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ages and ages. Amen.